Chapter 5. The Bastard and the Fool. The sun had slunk to sleep beyond the mountains. Genoa's church was caught in the storm's quiet eye. And in the brief and starless lull between one tempest and the next, the dead had come to Cairnheim.
"That delightful expression of yours," Selene murmured. "Remind me."
I dragged my hand through my hair and sighed.
"Fuck my face."
We stood behind the first of our five barricades across the Chateau Bridge. I'd stowed my greatcoat and shirt in my saddlebags, my old wolfskin wrapped about me like a cloak, ashdrinker glittering in my hands. Lightning pulsed in the distance, illuminating the frozen slopes above. The things watching us. I'd wondered why the terrors had taken so long to run us down after tracking us to Avalane. But in the weeks we'd wasted searching for Genoa's tomb, it seemed Alba and Elaine had gathered all the hell to their sides.
"Tell me what you see," I demanded.
Beside me, Dior peered through my spyglass, breath steaming in the deeping chill. A shadow hung between us now, anger and misgiving, resentment and fear. Despite it, the girl had still marched out to see what was coming for her, dressed in her stolen armour, a cowl of padded mail and iron helm dragged down over her hair. All that damn metal must have weighed most of what she did, but she wore it still, stubborn as a toddler at bedtime. "A host of thrall swords," she replied, "and a lot of wretched." She spoke true. The vanguard of the Vos force were foulbloods, one and all, perhaps 100 deep. They stared across the frozen expanse between us. Beggars and lords, soldiers and peasants, parents and children. Their brains rotted to ruin, their bodies mere shells for the thirst that drove them, each still strong and swift as a dozen mortals. Soldiers stood behind them, geared for battle, a band of 100 at least. They were veterans by the look, the white raven of the Vos set upon their shields or tabards. Their helms were fashioned like skulls, their pauldrons, skeletal hands. Swordsmen stood in front, riflemen at the rear, wheel locks at their shoulders and death in their eyes.
"And what don't you see?" I asked.
Dior wiped snow from the spyglass, squinting into the dark again.
"The terrors."
"You understand now?"
I pointed to the mongrel dead.
"Peons. Cheap and expendable. They get thrown first to test us."
I nodded to the thralls.
"The specialist pieces come next. They grind us down, sap our strength. But you don't see the emperors upon the field, do you? When they have a choice, even immortals don't risk themselves on the line. So you need to get the hell back behind ours. Because we're in a swamp of shit here, girl, and you've not got the boots for it."
"They want me alive, Gabriel," Dior insisted. "Those riflemen won't dare shoot with me standing here beside you. And the wretched won't charge mindless in case..."
"In case what?" I demanded.
She squared her shoulders defiant.
"In case they hurt me."
"That's right," I snapped, all my fears made plain. "In case they hurt you."
I could hear it again now, rising above the howling wind and the thunder of my own heart. Little footsteps and laughter flitting among the barricades at my back. The echo of my bride's voice soaring in the dark behind my eyes, along with Ashdrinker's broken song.
"Sleep now, my lovely. Sleep now, my dear. Dark dreams will fade now your papa is near."
"Get back inside, Dior."
"Perhaps you should take a breath, brother," Selene whispered. "You are angry."
I snarled at the bloody shadow at my back. "You think it wise to risk her like this?"
Selene stood tall in the howling wind, dark hair whipping about her ghastly mask. Her lifeless gaze slipped to me, then Dior, gleaming with fox's cunning.
"We agree with the Grail. She can hide in the shadows no longer.
Finally, Dior crowed. Merci, mademoiselle.
You treacherous fucking sow. My sister narrowed her death-pale eyes as I glowered at her. You'd risk Dior's life just to score a point off me.
You flatter yourself, Selene sighed. We have always said Dior must embrace what she is, what she was born to be. She shows valor standing against this foe, and she should be lauded for it. For all your hubris and fury, this is not about you.
She shook her head, eyes burning behind her dreadful mask.
But they were always the Black Lion's favorite sins, no? You are damned by pride, Gabriel. You are ruled by wrath.
Fury darkened my heart further, my teeth grinding. My frustration was rising, my temper, my fear, the echoes of that accursed song in my head.
Fear not the monsters, fear not the night. Papa is here now, and all shall be right.
I slammed Ashdrinker back into her sheath, turning on Dior with a growl. Right, enough horse shit. Get back inside, now.
Gabriel, I'm an edge here, she insisted. I killed Danton. I can fight.
One lucky strike, and you think you're ready for a war? What was the first lesson I taught you?
I grabbed her by the belt, metal singing as I ripped the blade from her scabbard. And with fangs bared, I hurled Dior's sword over the railing, down into the chasm below.
A blade and half a clue are twice as dangerous as no blade or clue at all.
Calm yourself, brother, Selene whispered. Your anger deepens.
Damn right it does. And if you knew what these fucking monsters were capable of, there is no way in hell you'd be pitting a child against...
I'm not a child!
Dior's cry cut me off, but it was the look on her face that held me still. So much pity. So much grief. So much love in her gaze it near broke my raging heart to pieces.
But that's what this is about, isn't it? She said.
Her voice fell then, just a whisper.
God, what it's always been about.
Tears shone in Dior's eyes as she reached for my hand, squeezing it tight.
I know you're just scared for me, she said, that you can't stand the thought of losing someone else. I know you're thinking about patience and Astra.
I slapped her then, swift, right across the face. Her head snapped sideways and her mouth dropped open as thunder rolled, echoing my daughter's name. The sound Dior made was strangled, something between a gasp and a sob. And as she staggered back, hand to cheek, she looked at me as if she couldn't quite believe what I'd done.
None could fault her for it.
Gabriel shook his head. I couldn't believe it myself.
The last Silver Saint met his jailer's eyes, glittering in the dark of their cell. Silence hung heavy between them, yawning like the abyss beneath the Cairnheim Bridge until...
Well played, I say.
Jean-Francois shrugged, returning to his tome.
La Chance was being a fool. Almighty only knew what would happen if she fell into the Forever King's clutches. You were the master, she the pupil. You did well to remind her of her place.
No, Gabriel replied, staring down at his open palm. It's the lowest kind of man who raises a hand to his child and calls it love.
She was not your child. Famille is not always blood. And love is not always simple. But you did love her. You knew what it might cost. Yet you decided to risk bruising the girl's heart rather than see it torn from her chest. You are not a bad man, Gabriel de Lyon. Sometimes you simply do bad things.
The last Silver Saint drank deep from his goblet, wiped his eyes.
Coming from you, vampire, that means absolutely nothing.
The historian pursed his lips as Gabriel slipped back into the darkness.
That slap's echo was like a wheel-lock shot. Dior licked the corner of her mouth, and my heart sank, belly twisting at the sight of her blood. I felt the dead host stirring behind me, a ripple rolling among the wretched as that red scent kissed the air. And as the thirst rose inside me, hateful and bleak and furious, God help me, I raised my hand for another. Get inside!
You prick! Dior hissed. You fucking bastard!
Better to be a bastard than a fool, I growled. Because God Almighty knows you're being fool enough for the both of us, Lachance. Get the fuck inside, now! Her lower lip trembled. Her eyes welled with tears. I could see such awful hurt in them, it might have cleaved me to my heart, if that heart weren't already overflowing with rage. But she didn't let them fall. Instead, she snarled with a fury to match my own. And with one last burning glance to Selene, she turned and ran, off through the thickets of spears, back across the bridge and squeezing through the crack in Cairnheim's massive doors. My pulse was hammering, mind a tempest, half disbelieving what I'd done. I fumbled for my pipe with shaking hands, eyes blurred with the sting. Loading a full day's dose, I lit it swift, dragging down the bowlful in one burning breath. Selene watched me sidelong, pale eyes gleaming as the storm's eye closed, winds howling between us.
You are crying, she whispered.
De Leon, came the cry. I sniffed, hard, spat into the brink beside me, turned my eyes to the foe. Etched in black on the slopes above, I saw two silhouettes now, maids both. Once fair and fine, twisted to horrors by the dread hands of time. Their twinned voices rang as much in my mind as upon the winds, a duet of bloody centuries and bleak majesty.
Good eve to thee, lion! Thou art in finer form than when last we laid eyes upon thee. Our dread father bids us give thee greetings. His assurance that he still awaits thee in the east, and condolence upon the feast he made of thy daughter and bride.
Selene glanced to me, grim understanding in her eyes. My teeth ached as I clenched my jaw, hand closing around Astrinka's hilt, leather creaking as I squeezed.
Shall we parley? The terrors called. Shall we offer concord? Or shall we presume poor brother Danton hath already played that song to deaf and foolish ears? We shall allow thee safe passage if you beg it, De Leon. Gift us the girl, and we shall gift thee thy life.
I felt a hammer blow on my thoughts then, clawed fingers trying to push through my eyes and into the secrets beyond. But the aegis was burning now on my skin, and colossal though the force of those ancient minds were, I forced them out, off, away. Touching my flint box to the barricade before us, I saw Selene flinch as the tapestries burst into hungry flames. And drawing Astrinka in one clenched fist, I roared over the rising wind. Get on with it, you fucking maggots. We'll see how many dogs it takes to slay a lion.
Where are we, Gabriel?
Ash whispered, bewildered. I watched the wretched begin to move now, loping down the hill in dark waves, silent and breathless and oh so hungry. We're in trouble, Ash.
Oh dear, oh dear, where are Astrid and patience?
I looked up to those twins on the hill, silhouetted in the dark just as they'd been the night their father came knocking, inhaling smoke and exhaling hatred. They're at home, Ash.
Oh good, good.
Selene lifted her arms, dragged her fingernails along her skin. Her claws sliced through porcelain white, brilliant red sluicing her fingertips. The scent stabbed my lungs, pitter-pattered on the flagstones as she glanced at me.
Good luck, brother.
Go to hell, sister.
I have been there, Gabriel. They found my company just as disagreeable as you.
Her blood rippled, coalescing by dark art and darker will into her long blade and whip-length flail. I shouldered off my blanket, Selene hissing as my aegis was unveiled, burning brighter than the barricade we stood behind. Hefting a torch in my free hand, I touched it to the flames, watched the hemp cloth begin to burn. Through the rising blaze, I saw the wretched coming, dozens upon dozens, silent as tombs and hungry as wolves.
Gaze, black teeth, bright snick snack, snick snack.
I closed my eyes as that horde came on, hair tumbling about my cheeks as I hung my head. I took the span of three breaths, listening to those rushing feet, and in every one I had to resist the temptation to pray. We were all that stood between Dior and the Forever King now, the only light in her night. But the Almighty had put her down here after all, with me, of all fucking people. I just hoped he knew what the hell he was doing. You remember when we were young, I murmured, playing around the forge. Selene nodded.
Ever outnumbered, never outmatched, always lions.
Just like old times, eh? And then they hit us. Shapes out of the dark, hollow eyes and black tooth grins, skimming vipers swift round the burning barricades and into our bottleneck. I was waiting, my sister beside me, blades hissing as they cut dead flesh to ribbons. Ashtrinka was singing again. Not a nursery rhyme now, but an aria, soaring silver bright inside my head. And I danced to her song, veins flooded with blood hymn, air burning with the light of the flames on my skin. The wretched reeled as they charged us, hateful, blinded, stumbling. We cut them down, grey snow at our feet slicked red, giving slow ground to the sheer weight of their numbers. I took the hands off a grasping horror, thrust my torch into the tangled nest of another's hair. Selene's blood blade was a whisper as it killed. A knife threw butter on a summer's day, cobbles splattered with the bubbling leavings. But as I warned Dior, this was only a probe to test us. And with a quickening heart, I realized where the Terror's opening move would truly come from. More wretched had swarmed from the dark, using their accursed strength to avoid our barricades entirely. They were coming now, scuttling like spiders along the sides of the bridge, or leaping from gibbet to rusting gibbet and seething over the railings at our rear.
"They're flanking us," I roared. "Fall back."
I cleaved a grinning boy thing's head from its shoulders, stabbed my torch into the face of leering fiend. Claws ripped my back as I dashed toward the second barricade, a tumble of broken statues and furniture, bristling with a thicket of rusting spears. I heard a series of cracks, sharp, metallic, and the air about me whistled as I vaulted the barricade. The first of the wheel lock volleys struck the wood by my hand. Another shot blasted a line of fire right through my shoulder, another my hip, and I barely held on to my sword. As I hit the flagstones, bleeding, gasping, I heard a voice bellow for a reload, the crunch of boots through snow that told me the swordsmen were advancing on the bridge. The Terrors were moving their next pieces into the game. Selene vaulted the barricade beside me, and I lit it with my torch, just as the first wretched came tumbling over after her. It was an elderly man, thin and grey, his charge harried by the two spears broken off in his chest and belly. There was enough in him to scream in bewildered pain as fire caught on the barricade and his skin, more shapes barreling over him, a clawing, flaming tumble. Selene shied back, terrified of the blaze, foes in front and at flank, and again, side by side, my sister and I danced. The last Silver Saint leaned forward, fingers steepled at his chin. The historian was writing swift, caught up in the rush of the battle now as if he too lived it. But the silence stretched on, like a strand of sticky crimson between sundered throat and pouting lip.
De Lyon?
Some say war is hell, cold blood, Gabriel said. Others name it heaven. There's thousands of songs and sagas that try to capture the essence of it, that chaos, that mad, blood-drunk thresher.
The minstrels sing of heroism and cowardice. Historians write of the twist of strategy, the boon of technology, the touch of destiny. Grim fate and pure will and dumb fucking luck. They all have a hand to play. But you want to know the card that trumps them all, vampire. The simple, undeniable fulcrum most battles tip upon.
Tell me, Silver Saint.
Gabriel sighed. It's math. No songs sung for it. No shrines built in its name. But it's how kings claim thrones and usurpers carve empires. The Silver Saint shrugged. Simple math. A man can only swing a sword so many times before he tires. A rifleman can only fire so many volleys before his pouch runs dry. And two people can only hold a stretch of stone 100 feet long and 20 feet wide for so many minutes before midnight starts to chime, no matter who those two might be. Peerless sword saint, deathless blood mage. Paint the cobbles red as you like. Scatter the stone with ash and bone, move like a song and bleed like a martyr, and slay like all the winds of winter. If every enemy you kill costs you 16 inches of ground, your foes need send only 75 bodies into the breach before you've nowhere left to run. And the terrors had brought hundreds. Gabriel dragged his hand down his scarred face and sighed. Math is a bastard. We cut them to shreds, Selene and I. My arms weighed like lead, and my breath burned like fire, flesh torn by claws and cleaved by blades, split by fists and rent by shot, and still I fought. Drooling red, long black curtains of gore-soaked hair about my face. Selene hovered beside me, at the edge of my Aegis's forge-red light, porcelain flesh-torn, greatcoat in tatters, just as spent as I. And when we'd given all we had, when we'd no strength left but to stand, pressed back to our final barricade with the bronze doors of Cairnheim looming behind us, then, finally, those dark emperors took the field. Alba and Elaine drifted through the dying flames, black and white, hand in hand. They were surrounded by a fresh company of swordsmen, slaved brutes all, clad in Vos livery and armed to their crooked teeth. The storm howled, whipping the terror's long coats through the rising smoke, but their hair moved not at all, as if it were wrought of iron like their flesh, like their hearts, as they stepped with squelching boots over the carnage we'd made of their men and monsters, sparing none of them a glance. They stopped 20 feet away, behind their wall of thralled meat and swords. Neither of them had yet suffered a scratch, but my muscles were burning, breath ragged, ashes half slippery with gore in my trembling fists. We might be in shite here, Hellion. Alba and Elaine's eyes flickered to the clocks above the door, the motion of stars and track of centuries. They blinked in unison, and I saw each had bloody eyes painted upon their lids, giving the uncanny impression they could still see, even with those eyes closed. I reached out and lit our final barricade, hoping to see them step back from the flames. But the terrors didn't flinch. Leech flesh burns like tinder, and even Ancien Coldbloods fear fire. But in a contemptuous display, Alba and Elaine removed their riding gloves, one finger at a time, stepping forward to hold their hands in the flames between us, as if to warm them. They stared at me as they did so, eyes black and unblinking, completely unafeared. After a moment, they withdrew, standing with fingers entwined among their minions once more. And though the flesh of any other leech would have been charred to fucking cinders, I saw the marble of Alba's skin had been merely singed from bone white to pale grey. I nodded, swallowing hard. We're in shite. Kneel, they said. The command rang in my head, in my heart, and exhausted as I was, bleeding and breathless, I almost succumbed. I could feel their minds smashing against my own, trying to breach my walls.
but I pictured my wife and daughter, filled my thoughts with the warmth of their love and my heart with the fury of their fates. "Ladies first," I wheezed, patting my coin pouch.
"I'll make it worth your while."
"How puerile thy song, De Leon."
Their heads shook simultaneously.
"A boy child's innuendo masking a boy child's fear. Know thee no other tune. Why do you seek the Grail?"
The terrors blinked, gaze shifting from me to Selene. My sister lurked beside me, mask underscored by the firelight, her long bloody blade unveiled in her hands. And at the sight of her dark magics, the terrors hissed, voices thick with hatred.
"Esani."
"What does Fabienne want with Dior?" Selene demanded.
Alba and Elaine narrowed those ink-black eyes, bristling with rage, indignity, and we, perhaps a touch of fear now.
"Who art thou to question us, thieving whelp? We are daughters of the Blood Iron, the Blood Royal. We are thy elders and thy betters."
"I am no whelp," Selene spat.
"I am the last begotten child of Law, your sister, the Wraith in red. The blood of the Forever King flows in these veins."
The terrors paused at that, exchanging a brief and black glance.
"Bring the girl to us then, petite niece. Break the silver dog beside thee, lay the Grail here at our feet, and the Forever King shall grant thee reward undreamed of."
"But he already has, mes chères tantes."
Alba and Elaine tilted their heads.
"Indeed?"
"Oh, oui,"
Selene nodded, hands rising to her face.
"He brought you here to me."
Thunder rolled as my sister dragged her mask away, exposing the awful ruin of her face. Skinless jaw and lipless fangs, and beneath her scarf, the skin of her throat ripped free like a troublesome glove, torn away by Lor Vos the day she murdered her.
"Tonight, we drink your heart's blood, madame," Selene vowed. "Tonight, I take all that was yours and reclaim a little more of what was mine."
The thrall swords drew their steel in answer, firelight gleaming on skeletal helms. Across the bridge, the riflemen raised their wheel locks, aiming at our bloodied chests. But the terrors were yet still as stone.
"Our dread father yet awaits thee in the east, Lion," they told me. "One last chance we offer, to seek for thy beloved bride and babe the vengeance due."
I hissed, bleeding, gasping, lifting Ash Drinker in shaking hands.
"You tell Papa, I'll see him soon."
And looking over their shoulders, I bellowed into the thunder.
"Now, Phoebe!"
A shape blurred from the shadows across the bridge, striking from behind the wheel-lock line. The lioness moved among the riflemen quick as lies, ripping bellies and throats to tatters. She had struck so fast, four were dead before the screaming began. The remainder tried to recover, but it's hard to bring a long arm to bear at close range. Harder still to reload when those golden eyes fall on you, and that roar shakes your bones, and she charges across the blood-soaked snow quick as the shot you missed her with. But she didn't miss.
Phoebe never missed.
With the guns silenced, Selene and I retreated up the steps, tore the mighty doors wide between us, and fled inside. Enraged, the terrors sent their thralls flooding after us, spilling into the vast hollow of Cairnheim's foyer. My aegis burned in the gloom, long shadows stretching out from the feet of those mighty pillars, falling across the great hearth, its blood-red drapes rippling in the wind. Selene and I took one staircase apiece, me backing up the east and she the west, both of us hacking up the thralls that came behind, furious, fearless, soaking the testament's pages on the walls red. And slow, inexorable, the terrors stalked after their foot soldiers, content to spend every one grinding at us until we fell. We fought like the fallen, Selene's blood blade and flail whispering as she sliced the air, Astrinka's aria reaching a silver-bright crescendo in my head. But Math is a bastard, like I said, Cold Blood. And all knew in the end we both of us would falter. Selene and I were back-to-back now, atop the mezzanine. Thralls still pressing, terrors still coming, death but a few breaths away. And at last, as those ancien feet touched the balcony, as those red lips curled in triumphant smiles, I roared at the top of my lungs, "Go, Dior!" Lightning split the sky as she charged, draperies flung apart as she barreled out from the massive hollow of the hearth's belly, knuckles white on pony's reins. A sword sliced my shoulders as I flung myself over the balcony rail, striking the foyer floor and swinging up onto Bear's back. Selene was lither, landing on the saddle directly behind me, arms flung about my waist. And Dior in front, my sister and me behind, the three of us charged back out the open door toward the empty bridge and the slopes now cleared beyond.
"Feign weakness," Jean-Francois murmured. "Draw your foes out of position in their haste to finish you, then strike."
Gabriel smiled.
"Rousseau."
The vampire gave an appreciative nod.
"Perhaps I should learn chess after all."
We galloped down the stairs, the terrors roaring behind us as thunder answered overhead. Dior caught my eye as we leapt the first barricade, my belly rolling as I saw the bruise on her cheek, the split at her lip, and God, my heart near broke at the sight. I couldn't believe I'd hit her. That wasn't like me. That wasn't me. But there'd be time enough to beg forgiveness once we were safe and far from here. I only ever wanted the best for that girl. I only ever wanted to keep her safe. We rode on, through the corpses and smoke and cinder rain, steeds swift as silver. Dior charged ahead, gold-trimmed coat streaming behind her. I came next, Selene holding my waist, wheeling around the barricades and through the rising smoke. I didn't see the blow until it struck. It came like a thunderbolt, scything so fast the air boomed behind it. A war maul, as long as I was tall, its head the size of a child's coffin and wrought like a roaring bear. It hit Dior's horse with the force of a cannon shot, not so much tearing Pony's head from her shoulders as reducing it to a blast of fine red mist. Dior screamed as she was flung from the saddle. I reached toward her and roared her name. And Chiara, the wolf mother, lifted her hammer for another blow.